Sunday the 18th of October 2020. Welcome. Very glad you can join with us this morning. We are looking at second section of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 4 to 8 and thinking about particularly love being kind. A lady called Marie Adams always went to a branch post office in her town because the postal employees were friendly. On one occasion just before Christmas she went there to buy stamps and found there was a particularly long queue. Someone pointed out there was no need to wait in the queue because there was a stamp machine over there in the lobby. "I know," she says, "but the machine won't ask me about my arthritis." So here, in essence, is the message for this morning. And there are many like Marie who will go out of the way to experience the kindness of others. It attracts, and so it should, because it's a godly quality. So the passage we're looking at this morning, 1 Corinthians 13, describes love. And the second phrase in the passage reads, "Love is kind." Love is kind. And so to be loving is to be kind. And of course the question is, are you loving? Then others should see your kindness. Love is most often seen and experienced in kindness. Look at the list. If you look at the list there, I would say that kindness is the most visible aspect of love. And of course, in a country, the more ungodly people are, the more unloving, and therefore the more unkind one to another. It's obvious, it's tangible. I mean, if you go overseas, you visit another country, then that's a great indicator, isn't it, of where that country is. You can kind of feel it. And I had an interesting 10 minutes looking at the most friendly countries and the most unkind countries in the world. Well, God's love is supremely manifest in his Son, Christ's body. The church is therefore the showcase of love. It's his shop window. And here between Christians, love is prominently on display. Well, sadly, in Corinth, there's a problem. And I'm sure you're aware of the context. Paul brings up this subject of love here for good reason. The church had been blessed with many gifts, many abilities. Paul said, and he's not buttering them up, he said, "You've been enriched in their speaking and knowledge. They did not lack any spiritual gift." And they immediately concluded that God was very pleased with them. And they patted themselves on the back. It's an easy trap to fall into. Which is why Paul has to give fair time to explain how these gifts are to be used in chapters 12 and 14. And here in the middle, of course, in the center, Paul says the main point is not gifts, but love. So those gifts God has given you, he gives you as he determines, for his purpose, for his glory, and the good of others. It's not about you. In other words, they have their fruit and their gifts mixed up. And of course, if we're in Christ, then if he is the root, then love will be the fruit of that. And so every Christian must display love. It's the mark of a Christian. If we do not love our brother, then we cannot say we're a Christian. The Bible's very clear about that. So Paul puts that in the middle of an important context there of 12 and 14. But if you go back to chapter 11, Paul has to rebuke the church about how they approached the Lord's Supper. He says, "When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else." In other words, they are very impatient and therefore very unkind towards each other. And so I wonder if you look at this list, you know, love is patient, love is kind, love is not proud and so on. Is this an exhaustive list? I don't think so. Is there a connection between these characteristics? Certainly. You see, those in the church who didn't wait for each other and showed impatience, in going ahead, they were unkind and perhaps driven by pride or aloofness. And the result is they showed a lack of love for their fellow Christian. So love displayed in kindness should be the mark of all of God's people. And the men and women of God in the past through the ages have always showed this quality of kindness. And the reason why that is because God is kind. I'll just read you some scriptures. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. With everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer." I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. In the New Testament, Paul says, do not show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance. In Christ, we are told, the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, appeared. We should display that same characteristic. And of course, that's where the church in Corinth had fallen down. For all their spiritual privileges, they had a worldly mindset, a worldly attitude, and it showed in their lack of love for each other. Kindness is the proactive, it's the sort of pushing front end of love. It takes the initiative towards others. As it takes initiative, as it kind of allows you to open yourself up to others, it's open to abuse, or you can become vulnerable. And that's why people often hold back. And Paul had to say to the church there, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you, but you are withholding your affection from us. As a fair exchange, open wide your hearts also. And you can feel Paul's sadness and appeal in his rebuke. He expects Christians to be loving, because he knows that for we as Christians, God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. And as we read later on, we love because he first loved us. So love and kindness is the new disposition from a renewed heart. So just as I said, when you visit a country, you can get a feel of the country by how kind people are. That's also true when people visit your church. When somebody walks in through the door, they're likely to be more affected by kindness than anything else. In other words, it's not patience that they immediately observe, or it's not keeping no record of wrongs that they observe. No, it's kindness that communicates to them that you're with them, you're for them. You're moving towards that other person, not away from them. And that person knows it, they feel it. You position yourself with them and you're saying to them, by being kind, I'm for you, I'm with you. And that is love. It's very interesting to know what visitors say about a church when they walk in. It's not always an easy thing to ask them about that. But if they come back to you, if they stay with you, I suspect it's because they've experienced love shown in kindness. So as I say, it's on that list, and it's a particularly proactive element of love. It seeks out the others to show kindness to others. It's so opposite from the world around, which is grabbing and taking. Well, the word kind used here means to be good-natured, gentle, tender, affectionate. Love wishes well. Tyndall refers or renders it courteous. But I think we have to note at this point that kindness is not niceness. Beware of niceness. You could say it's the curse of the post-war church. Niceness is like gloss paint. It puts on a surface sheen, but it can be smarmy and deceptive. And when I was preparing this, my mind went back to somebody at school who had the unfortunate nickname of Grimace, because he always had a sort of feline smile on his face. Poor chap. So niceness smacks of sham, a mask over every kind of ill. I mean, for example, if you're in the shop and you're at the queue there for the returns, the person in front may be very nice, but as soon as something isn't going quite their way, then nice becomes nasty. As the proverb says, a malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but in his heart he harbours deceit. Not with kindness. Kindness is genuine, and it's the sign of Christ in me. So let's just look at two areas for the second part. First, how it's displayed in speech, and then kindness displayed in action. That is in both word and deed. And let's get a bit practical about this. So let's think about kind words. And I suppose the first thing we can say about kind words is sometimes there aren't any words at all. There are no words. And as Christians, we should always make an effort to have kind words for each other. And we've all experienced brothers and sisters who kind of just walk on past and never say a word. That can really hurt. And I can remember one man, particularly in the church years ago, who just come into church, walk past you and not say a word. And really said hello or anything. That should not be. And I wonder if you do that, whether you just walk past as your brothers and sisters and never say anything. Maybe you're too caught up in your own business, so thoughts of kindness are far from you. It's so easy, isn't it, to be self-absorbed. And like the world around, there's no room to think about how to show kindness to others. Or it could be laziness or weakness. Or it might be, I don't feel like saying anything to that person. Well, that should never be. Are there people that you tend to avoid in church? You mix with just a little group? Or do you make an effort to say kind words to everybody and greet everybody? Kindness is not just words, but it's our demeanor. It's not a frown. It's not indifference or annoyance or prickliness. Kindness is never harsh, sour, churlish, or ill-tempered. In Zechariah, we're told that the Lord spoke kind and comforting words to the angel. So our conversation should always be full of kindness, full of grace, even when it's not reciprocated. Grace when we're faced with hostility, always full of grace. And Paul said, didn't he, that when we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. As someone has said, hatred prompts for harshness, severity, unkindness of expression, anger, and a desire for revenge. But love is the reverse of all these. A man who truly loves another will be kind to him, desirous of doing him good, will be gentle, not severe and harsh, but courteous. And as we know, if there's a little bit of a difficult conversation, remember the proverb, a gentle answer turns away wrath. So to be kind is to be generous-hearted to all, even to our enemies, but especially to the household of faith. And the one who accommodates himself to the quirks and strangers of others is being Christ-like to that person. I think we can easily slip to a very unkind, basic, common denominator. I wonder, when you pick up the phone, are you a three-word person or a four-word person? Are you a where are you question? That's all you say? Or when will you be back? Or something like that. Well, we must value relationships, and the person is much more important than the situation most of the time. And the world around is very hard and insensitive and loveless and unkind. So let's be the opposite of that. When I was at school, Sunday afternoon was letter writing time. And we used to sit there and we had our paper in front of us, and we were told exactly how, you know, where to put the address and the date and how to start the letter and the finish the letter, what to say and so on. And that you just sit there and think about what to fill up this page for half an hour. It's really difficult. Well, of course, we don't write letters these days, but I wonder, with electronic media such as email or text, we just go straight in with what we want to say. There's no gracious beginning. There's no ending. If the number wasn't stored on your phone, you'd have no idea who it came from. You're not going to write a formal letter when you do an email or a text, but it's good to just think about how it comes across. Does it appear hard or hurried? Or does it come across as impatient? Can I change the words to add some grace so it feels warmer? It takes a moment, doesn't it, just to think it through. It's so easy to hit the send button and just regret it later. And of course, in the old days, far off days when you wrote letters, you had plenty of time to think about what you were going to say. Then you had to put it in the envelope, you had to find the stamp, you had to walk down the post box, and you had plenty of time to change your mind about something. But not these days, it's all instant. And I think we need to stop and think twice and reread it and just think about the way we communicate with each other. Maybe it's not you're sending something, maybe you're receiving something. And one of the ways I think we can be, as Christians, so different from the world around is always to promptly reply. Not just when it suits us or when it's to our advantage, otherwise we just leave it. My father's principal, years ago, when he used to write letters a lot, he said he always tried, where possible, to reply by return, to respond quickly. Well, that's one way of showing kindness in the way we communicate like that. I was very exercised about a couple of events that took place a few weeks ago. I was replacing an upstairs front bedroom window, and a fair few people were walking past the front of the house. And one man stopped for a conversation. Same thing happened a week later. I was up a ladder and a friend appeared in the drive. And in both cases, I tried to carry on a conversation from where I was. And looking back, I know what I should have done. I'm sure you would have done this. I should have got down from the ladder. I should have come out the front. I should have greeted them, spent time with them, put the kettle on and spoke to them. But I tried to do two things at once and it didn't work. It takes a lot of self-control to stop what we're doing, particularly if we're job-orientated people, and to put the person first. So how about you? Are you task-orientated or are you willing to stop whatever you do? And I'm always very impressed when I come into some people's offices at BCM. And as soon as I come in, you know, they're busy on the computer. They swing round in their chair and they give me their full attention. And there's no sense of annoyance or impatience, even though it may not be very you know, I'm probably the last person they want to see. But that's a sign of love. And whether it's the PC or the phone, whenever there's somebody there, you know, the phone has to go and we need to give good attention. And it takes self-control to do that, to speak kindly and have a good demeanor, even when it's highly inconvenient. Well, when people heard Jesus, they were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. They were also able to see in Jesus somebody who went around doing good, So let's just look at the second part, really, which is not kindness in speech, but kindness in action. The word there, actually, 1 Corinthians 13:4, the word for kind is krestoumai, and it's from the word krestos, which carries a practical element, usefulness. In other words, being helpful. And it's the same word that Jesus used when he spoke about making things easier for people. Do you remember that phrase in Matthew 11:30 said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's the same word as being kind, making something easy, helping somebody with something. In other words, a Christian should be helpful. And here's an example of a Christian making herself helpful. In the AV, it says this, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." Remember which woman that is? Proverbs 31. There she is. She's always seeking to be useful. She searches out the opportunity for doing good, even when faced with difficulties or insults. And why does she do that? Because she knows that God is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. And her character is such that she does all the good in her power. It goes on to say she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Well, the Swiss Protestant theologian Frederick Godet said of kindness, "That person is full of goodness, animated by constant need to make oneself useful. It is a victory over idle selfishness and comfortable self-pleasing." The verb strictly means to put oneself at the service of others. And isn't that exactly what Christ did? Not to be served, but to serve and give himself. So in a summary, let's just remember that you're a Christian today because of God's kindness to you. We're told, aren't we, "May no one ever show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance." That's God's kindness to us. He has not struck us down, but he's made a way through Christ on the cross that we can be freed from that judgment and punishment, and we can be at peace with him. Remember that hymn? "In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me, from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name, he lifted me." It's God's kindness that reached down to us and lifted us up out of our mess. So what can you and I do to display kindness to others? What could you do? We should be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And remember, love is always other-centered. It seeks the best for others. And I remember when I first came into the church as a baby Christian, there's a man there who was a busy man. He worked for the BBC. And he just gave up an evening from time to time and took me out to play squash with him. And that was just an act of loving kindness that stayed with me for all these years later. The Lord sees what is done in secret. It must have been quite a sacrifice for him. I wasn't very communicative, and yet he gave that time in loving kindness. I remember another man in the church who used to spend his time going and visiting members, and that really spoke to me as well about making time to go and visit other people, particularly those who needed it most. There was a man I remember in the church as well. It's interesting how these things have stayed in my mind all these years. He had a mother who he really struggled to relate to. She wasn't a Christian. He knew she loved her garden, so he went off to learn about gardening, just so he had something to communicate with her. When people see love shown in kindness, they see Christ. And it pulls people. Kindness pulls people. Now, you're going to be a bit shocked by what I say here, but I'm going to ask you the question. Do you steal? Of course you don't steal. I used to steal, but I don't do it any longer. I hate it now. Ephesians says to Christians there, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." And I think the simple point is that before we become Christians, we're takers. But when we become a Christian, We become givers. We want to have something to share. And I might surprise you by saying I went through a phase where I learned how to bake cakes just because I thought, oh, cakes, you don't have to buy cakes. Make a cake. It's an easy way of sharing something for other people. And lots of others do it. So think about how you can take the initiative to show kindness to others. How can I show kindness? Who can I show kindness to? And be proactive about it. Well, the counsellor, Larry Crabb, he was out for a meal with his son. He was sitting there having this conversation with his son. He thought it was an edifying conversation. And he thought, well, here I am. It's a great situation. I'm not sinning. And then he thought to himself, am I doing everything I can to present Christ to this young man? That shows the proactive nature of obedience to Christ. We should ask, as David did, is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? And of course, remember, that's Mephibosheth, wasn't it? And Ziba answered, there's still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet. So it's interesting, isn't it, how proactive kindness is. And it's also interesting that in that wonderful picture of the gospel in the Old Testament, the way it's presented is by demonstrating kindness. Kindness is used there to demonstrate God's grace. A little word in kindness spoken, a motion or a tear, has often healed the heart that's broken and made a friend sincere. Then deem it not an idle thing, a pleasant word to make. The face you wear, the thought you bring, a heart may heal or break. Will you act? Will you speak? Will you speak of God's kindness as Isaiah did? I will tell of the kindness of the Lord and the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. I wonder what they'll write about you when that time comes. But perhaps they will say that above all, you were kind. And that's what they experienced of you. So may the Lord help us to demonstrate love in kindness. Amen.